Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Shell's 3 Cents. And I am your host, Michelle Murray. So the day started off with the sad news that iconic actress and singer Doris Day has died. She was 97. So we send our thoughts and prayers to her family. In other news, you need to be careful if you are an Uber rider. An Uber driver in Pittsburgh was just charged with kidnapping, harassment, and false imprisonment of 2 women passengers. The women stated that the driver commented on their looks and he didn't follow the GPS directions to the requested address. Eventually, the women told police, the driver pulled over, put the car in park, and said, "You're not going anywhere." And then he attempted to lock the doors, but one of them was able to open the door, and she escaped through the back seat, followed by the second woman. And Uber's response so far has simply been, "Well, this is unacceptable, and we can't comment further." So, again, folks, just be careful if you are an Uber rider. Now, on the border, hospitality sites for illegal immigrants have reached capacity. Food supplies are low, as is bedding space. As a result, these migrants are now being transported out of state. The first busload headed to Denver just last night. Now, this is after having literally thousands released into the El Paso and Las Cruces areas. Migrant releases are currently hitting about 1,000 a day, sometimes more. And despite what mainstream media is telling you folks, there is definitely a crisis on our border. But we need to put the party politics to the side and come up with actual solutions, real solutions for real people. That's what we need. And speaking of solutions, that brings us to today's guest, Wesley Lawrence. Again, I'm on location in my hometown of El Paso, Texas, and I'm so excited to report some of the great things going on here. So Wesley sees some issues in El Paso, and he's hard at work trying to reverse some of the problems and solve them. He's a proud son of Northeast El Paso and a proactive District 4 resident. Wesley, thank you for joining us on air today. Are you there? Maybe we didn't quite get Wesley in the crew, in the queue. Let's see. Well, Wesley has founded an organization called Save El Paso. And I'm really intrigued by Save El Paso. I'm not sure if we're having technical difficulties or just what exactly happened with Wesley.
I'm here, Michelle. Can
you... Oh, well, we had him. No. Okay, so Wesley, if you're listening, go ahead and call back in. But at any rate, one of Wesley's aims is civic responsibility, civic mindedness. And that's one of the reasons Wesley catches my attention quite often, because strong civic mindedness is key to achieving an active citizenry. It's key. We absolutely have to be active on that front. So now it looks like Wesley was able to call back in. Are you there, Wesley?
Yeah.
Super. Okay.
Can you hear me,
Michelle? So Wesley, thank you so much. Yes. Thank you so much for coming on air with us today. I'm really excited about Save El Paso. And maybe you can tell us, before we get into Save El Paso, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you, and what prompted you to put together Save El Paso?
Sure. Like you said earlier, I'm a proud son of the Northeast. I'm a graduate of Austin High School. Go Panthers. I'm an Eagle Scout and a Vigil Honor member, and I'm a proud resident of District 4. Currently, right now, I'm working at VFW Post 812, serving our veterans with a smile. I'm actively involved in my community, and I'm actively involved in local politics because that's the key to their solutions that we're going to present later on. And I have worked on several campaign teams, such as the Seaburger for Congress team. I helped Ida Gardner run for Justice of the Peace. Right now, I'm planning on joining the Democratic Party in order to enact change here in El Paso, as I set out on my mission to restore the image of our local city government and to bring faith back into the people of El Paso.
It's a long road, but I
know that together we can do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that's the key. Together we can do it. You know, and you'll always hear me stress about putting party politics to the side, and let's just join forces. Let's just join hands and come up with solutions, you know, for our community. I heard you say something that was very interesting. You said you're about to join the Democratic Party. Now, when I first came in contact with you, I think you were on the conservative side of the aisle. What is it that's causing you to switch, or I don't know if maybe you're more in the middle? What's going on with that?
Well, I can tell you I'm still a proud conservative. The reason I'm switching parties is truly to allow the Democratic side of the aisle to understand that there is a big conservative uprising here in El Paso. I was a proud Republican for about 16 years, but recently I've noticed that the Republican Party is just fractured beyond all belief. Unfortunately, they're not working together as a team. So it's a way for me. I thought about going to the Democratic Party a long time ago. Actually, this has been a thought of mine for the past 3 years. But my goal is to go to the Democratic Party and get a coalition of strong conservatives to come and really help the city. You know, we always hear the rumor that unfortunately in El Paso you cannot win a race unless you're Democrat. I don't know if there's a lot of truth to that or if it's just voter apathy, but that's really the reason. I want to go to the Democratic Party really to bring hope to the party, because right now we hear things in El Paso all the time that the Democrats are here to obstruct and to raise our taxes, and it's just not true to a ginormous aspect, but I do understand where people are coming from when they say that.
Wesley, are you still on the line?
I'm still here.
Okay, I don't know what happened, folks. It went silent.
Okay.
We're having some really wonky weather. Maybe that's giving us technical difficulties. I don't know. But what I was saying was that sounds like fodder for another show. But today I want to focus on Save El Paso. So what pushed you to found Save El Paso?
Well, there's really three exciting reasons on why I founded Save El Paso. Number one was while I was working with Mr. Seeberger, a lot of people were telling me they like what I have to say. And they said that I had a lot of hope and promise for the city of El Paso that unfortunately has been forgotten for a long time. But it actually started off as a different route on Facebook. I started off with Save El Paso with Wesley. But after a couple months, I realized that it truly was more than just about myself. That it had to be the entire community come together. Number two, the second reason was the lack of decorum, tactfulness, and respect in most modern-day encounters here in El Paso. Like I said, while working on a congressional race, I sadly saw that El Paso truly is plagued with angry people who don't understand that we have to come together for the greater good and for our beloved city. I simply wanted to give people an avenue for us to come together regardless of party lines and to make a difference in our city. And the third reason was because I just wanted to become more involved in my community, get to understand where elected officials are coming from, and work with them and not against them to enact positive change. And I truly want to see a stronger, vibrant, and a brighter future for El Paso.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, most of us that hold El Paso dear feel that same way. So what sort of work are you doing to that end? Do you have any activities going on, or what kind of outreach? What are you doing to help make that happen?
Well, I want to start off by thanking you. I know last month we had a event where we partnered with City Rep Alexandra Nello in District 2, and that's the Central Northeast El Paso at Chapin High School.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say this event was a success. I know we didn't get a lot of people out there, but we really in essence, did do a lot of good for the community. So I want to thank you and Kendall for attending. But the avenues, I plan to host more community involvement projects. shoot more videos in the community so people can understand what we need to do, in essence, to lower our taxes or just to really understand how to communicate with an elected official. And unfortunately, this weekend we had a group of conservatives, far-right conservatives, that went to Veronica Escobar's town hall and were actually kicked out of the town hall due to the way they were acting. Had that been underneath my concern, or even with another organization I partner with, the Concerned Citizens of El Paso, I don't think it would have escalated to the amount of escalation that happened that day. And unfortunately, it made both sides look bad, because both sides, in a way, didn't really show decorum. They just wanted their ideas to be heard, and that's just not how you get things done in El Paso, unfortunately. But I do plan to get more involved in local races. That way, really, the local area starts changing. I just helped a man, Daniel Call, on the west side run for school board. He's a great guy, and he actually won with an astounding 75% of the vote against an incumbent. So it's the slow things like that that has to happen. But the wheel does turn very slowly, but I think we can really cause a great thing to happen to El Paso.
And I agree with that. But let me ask you this. Why do you think people should care? Why should people care what you're doing? Why should they get involved? You know, for a lot of people, it's easier just to sit on their couch and do nothing. Just change the channel on life, you know. So why do you think people should care? Why does it matter?
Well, there's really a lot of reasons that people should care about El Paso and the people that live here. I know I've said multiple times before that El Paso is a vibrant melting pot community, and I think that's what really makes us a great community. But the main reason is that we have to come together to form viable solutions to solve the problems that everyday El Pasoans are facing. Unfortunately, right now we're having people that are taxed out of their houses. They're not able to feed their families due to the way our local government is operating. Sure, they're doing some great things, but at the end of the day, we have to make sure that we stand together as a community. And when we notice that we have people that are struggling, we have to go out there and help them. And it's the same way with the migrants. I've gone out to several migrant centers, and I've been helping them slowly. Of course, there's a language barrier between me and most of the migrants. I don't speak Spanish. I only speak English. But that's really what has to happen. And I think the main reason, other than to form viable solutions, is that we have to fight the status quo so we can make common sense, middle-of-the-road stances to usher in hope to El Paso. Right now, we're really focused on the Republican side. I've been a Republican precinct chair now for almost a year and a half. And the constant thing I keep hearing is, you know, Democrats want to raise our taxes. Democrats are evil. They only care about the migrants, and that Democrats are going to destroy El Paso. And on the Democratic side, I hear the same thing about Republicans. Republicans want to raise our taxes. Republicans are the worst things to ever come to El Paso. And I think we just got to come together. We got to end the back and forth banter between party lines. And we really got to understand that we can do more when we come together.
Absolutely. No, I completely buy into that philosophy of let's, you know, come together and work to solve a problem for the good of everyone. So speaking of come together, do you have any alliances or partnerships within the community already established? I know you're fairly new, so I don't know if you have that yet.
I actually do. Right now, I'm working on several campaigns. I'm helping Carlos Carrillo. He's a Democrat running for sheriff here in El Paso against Sheriff Wiles. I'm also, right now, a Republican precinct chair. I'm also on the ad hoc bylaws committee, hoping to fix that very soon. But in regards to alliances, there's this great organization in El Paso. It's called Concerned Citizens of El Paso, and it's a conservative think tank for El Paso. And we come together a lot, and we really get out in the community and help. I'm also good friends with City Rep Samuel Morgan, District 4, and District 2, Alexandra Nello. So I think that those are two great alliances to have, because a lot of people don't like the city reps that we have. But I think that some of them are doing a good job in certain aspects. Alexandra Nello asks a lot of good questions, and Sam Morgan understands how to bring economic development to El Paso. So I think those really are two of my greatest alliances.
Those are great alliances to have. Both of them are great alliances. And Sam Morgan I've known for years, and He's definitely concerned about, you know, not just that area, but the whole community and the world in general. You were speaking, you said something that caught my attention. Did you say you serve as a Republican precinct chair?
I currently do.
That is so interesting. Yet you say you're switching to the Democratic Party. How does that go over with the people in the Democratic Party that you're serving as a Republican precinct chair? I'm just curious. I just have to ask that one.
Well, that's actually a good question. I haven't made my move fully over to the Democratic side of the aisle as of yet. I plan to do that as soon as I get this ad hoc bylaws committee out of the way. But right now I have a lot of friends that are on the Democratic side of the aisle that are also precinct chairs on that side of the aisle as well. A lot of them understand that what I'm doing is to help El Paso. And it's a good thing because a lot of my friends, as I've been growing up, they've all left because El Paso just wasn't able to take care of them and the bickering back and forth between the parties. So when I go in the Democratic Party, my goal is to form a strong conservative coalition of Democrats in order to enact change here in El Paso. We always hear people saying here in El Paso that you can't win an election unless you're a Democrat. I would like to see that eventually change. I just think that as long as they're conservatives, though, that we'll see a good change here in El Paso. So it's a long road. I'd be remiss to say it's not, but I think that the Democrats will welcome me with open arms because I present bipartisan solutions. And I think that it's a strength to remember that Ronald Reagan started off as a Democrat and then he moved to the Republican Party. So I hope in a way to be El Paso's Reagan.
That's a great aspiration. That's a great aspiration. And so I'm equally as curious, how do the folks over, you know, at the Republican headquarters feel about your potential move to the Democratic side of the aisle?
Well, I can tell you a lot of people aren't happy. I did a lot for the Republican Party, and a lot of people know the connections I have with our local government, so they're going to miss that. But really, some of my friends that are Republicans, they're telling me they're excited for this change because they know that, again, I offer middle-of-the-road stances for both sides to come together. And that's really my goal, is to get both sides to come together because I think it has to happen. We got to stop the back-and-forth banter. And to anybody that's a Republican that doesn't like the idea of people switching parties for the sake of their city, I just question their ethics.
A few minutes ago, you mentioned Ronald Reagan. So let me ask you this. Is Ronald Reagan a role model? Or who would you consider, you know, your primary role model? And why? What makes them a role model to
well,
you?
That's a really hard question, then, to be honest with you. As I said earlier, I was in the Boy Scouts of America, and in there I have several role models, one of them being Jake Ross. He was a great El Pasoan, and he taught me how to be a leader in the love of Native American culture and really how to embrace our community. But in regards to the political side, values-wise, I'd say it's President Reagan because he offered a lot of solutions, and he worked with both sides of the aisle to change America. But in the current time, and people are going to laugh at this, but I think right now my greatest role model in Congress is actually Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, which is actually very hard to admit. But I think that she's one of my greatest role models right now because, like me, she's a bartender. She's young, and she's able to articulate her values. Now, a lot of people don't like what she has to say, and there's days that I wake up in the morning and she comes out. The other day, she didn't know what a garbage disposal was. I thought that was kind of funny, but of course, nobody's perfect. And I think that's really what I've been learning for a long time. And then locally, I think I have two great role models, Dr. Sam Morgan, because he listens to everybody in the community, and he's getting a lot of work done. And quite frankly, I think he's done more than any city rep has done for the Northeast. But I also, in a way, look up to Mayor Margo because he had the audacity to speak out against the president on his false narrative of the immigration crisis that we have here in El Paso. And I think that it's smart for really anybody to speak out. When something's not true that's being presented by even the President of the United States about our community, I think more of us have to speak out. And that's why I have to commend Mayor Margo, because he did that. And I understand that it's not easy for a Republican to speak out against a Republican who happens to be the President of the United States, but I think he did the right thing.
That's interesting that you mentioned that about the border, the crisis, the influx of migrants. So Border Patrol, Annunciation House, and all of the homeless shelters, everybody's saying that there's a crisis. We don't have food. We don't have beds. They're putting these folks on a bus and sending them elsewhere. So let me just ask you, so do your personal perception as someone that lives on the border, do you or don't you feel that there's some sort of crisis brewing? And if you do, what do you think is a possible solution, a step in that direction? Or if you don't, you know, what makes you go contrary to what the Border Patrol says? I'm just curious. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that it's definite that we have multiple crises happening right now due to the influx of immigration. We have an economic crisis. We have a humanitarian crisis. And we really have a community crisis. And it's not just in El Paso where we have that community crisis. But we have people that are being lied to in Mexico, and actually even in the Middle East. The Border Patrol has said that we're getting an influx of people from all around the world, and not just Mexico. But I think that the reason why we have this crisis, and we knew this was going to come, but we just were not well prepared for it. I mean, I've heard multiple people tell me that they could have speculated this was going to happen with the election of Donald Trump due to his hard talks on immigration. And I just think that we weren't well prepared for it because of the fact that with the rhetoric behind a wall, which we do need some sort of wall, but we also need to fix our immigration laws that we have on the books right now. Now, that should have been done 12 years ago underneath the Bush administration and 8 years ago underneath the Barack Obama administration, which both times it was brought up. But, of course, during the Bush administration, the Democrats, they had a majority for a while, so they cut that down. And then during the Barack Obama administration, Republicans cut down any type of immigration reform. We had some good people that tried with the Barack Obama administration. We had the Gang of Eight. Marco Rubio tried hard to fix the immigration problems that we have, but unfortunately they just weren't able to do that. I think right now there's multiple solutions that need to happen, and it has to start off with Congress doing their job and really fixing the current immigration crisis. Right now the people that are coming here, the migrants, they're following the law to the T. In order to claim asylum here in America, you have to simply step one foot on American soil and surrender yourself to Customs and Border Patrol. We got to fix that. I personally would like to see a DMZ between Mexico and America, which El Paso would be a great place to have a DMZ, as well as any other area that has a massive amount of people coming in through it, because it would allow these people that if they truly do have a problem, they truly do have to get out of their country for whether it be for human trafficking reasons, that their family's mm-hmm. being stolen, the violence that's happening in these countries, then I feel for them. Because if I was in their situation, I think I would probably do the same thing. But that's just one of the things we have to remember. Some of these people are walking here for 3 months on end. Yes, some of them are on buses and some of them get in cars. But we have to remember that if this was our family, how would we feel? And that's just the way I look at it.
And you do make a great point if this was our family. But I want to point out a couple of things. So I'll start with if it was my family. If my son and I were in a place like that, yeah, absolutely, I would look to immigrate somewhere. I've actually looked at moving to a couple of different countries before, and the first thing I did was research their laws and how things actually work. And I also want to point out about asylum. It's not as simple as just placing a foot on American soil and surrendering yourself, because seeking refuge and seeking asylum are completely different things, and the criterion to do so, it's just not that simple. But yeah, and I do agree with you that there's some revision in the legal system that needs to take place on that front. So I'm not attacking anything you say, but I just want to point that out. And actually, I'd love to have you back on here on a different occasion where we can go down that rabbit hole, because again, today I really want to focus on Save El Paso. So let me ask you one more thing about Save El Paso. What are your goals for the next few years, say the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, my goals for the next 5 years eventually is to run for office and to get people to support that goal. But my goal really is to get more people to understand what's going on here in El Paso, to get more people out in the community, whether it be to clean people's yards that are either too old to do it or they can't afford to hire somebody to do it, to clean medians. I know that when we went to Chapin High School the other day that you saw the median and it was out of control. But I want to encourage, I think with my organization, for the need for anybody who wants to run for office, whether you have a lot of money or whether you have very little, that if you feel passionate about your community, to run for office. And that's what I'm slowly be moving towards, is helping these people that feel disenfranchised economically, or that feel that their area is not being, I guess, ruled correctly or are taken care of because of, again, economic attributes to that. But I think that's my biggest thing. I want to see new people in office here in El Paso. I don't really care if they feel that they're under-educated to run for office, because there's a lot of good things that even people who might not have a PhD know what our city needs to grow and to benefit the people. One of my other goals is when I find somebody is to fight the monopolies here in El Paso. Because right now we're really seeing it take into full effect, the monopolies that rule over El Paso. You know, we have one electric company here in El Paso. We have one water company. We have one gas company. I would love to see a strong person stand up and fight that, because I think that if someone wants to have, for example, solar energy, they shouldn't be penalized by El Paso Electric. Right now they are. They have to pay money to store their electricity, which I don't think should happen. These people, to the goodwill of their owner, are being environmentally sound and getting their own electricity rather than it having to be farmed through coal or any other mean. But I think those are my biggest goals.
Sounds good. So I'm looking at the clock and our time is winding down. How can my listeners contact you or participate in your activities or see what you have going on? Do you have a Facebook, a website?
Well, it's really simple. They can log on to Facebook and look up Save El Paso and smash the like button. And if they don't feel confident in liking it, by all means, they can always follow the page. I'm working on actually getting the website up. I'm looking to have that completed probably by the end of the year, just for people to maybe who don't have Facebook be able to see what's going on with Save El Paso. I know a lot of my clientele happens to be elderly. And a lot of them, they're not on Facebook. I have a good friend, Larry Olson, who loves what I have to say, and he likes what I'm doing for El Paso, but unfortunately he doesn't want to have a Facebook. So I think a website will be very crucial for me to develop.
Sounds good. All right, Wesley, well, thank you so very much. I enjoyed this conversation, and I look forward to having you on air again sometime soon. And best wishes with Save El Paso, and I hope to participate in many future activities of yours.
Absolutely. Anytime you'd like me to be on, just let me know, and I'd be honored.
Sounds good. All right. You have a great day, Wesley. Thanks.
Look,
you too.
Work hard and play hard. Play hard. And you will succeed. It's
our work pays off in the long run. And if you work hard, you can get the job done. Overcome and achieve in the long run. What say you next up, you don't come.
I'm on the beach in my memory, cool life living. Like it's a blessing to be. To see how many friends I've grown and have surrounded me. That's cause I'm doing something not, and I'm glad to be. Living the rich life really is about to see. Young man with a dream, which I really see. Looking forward to the money, not just for a piece. I know it's hard when your baby out on the streets. With these
breaking rules, but that's really not the least. It's just he's growing up while most he's trying to come up. What you need to know, he's helping you get rich and come up. See what's up? I have a plan for you both. Just look up and hold up. Check it. It's all worth life living, understanding and forgiving. Going to church every day and I stand it. Why mama on the knees, son now selling weed. But a plan is all you need for y'all to succeed.
First day love in a